Welcome everyone to another episode of Faith All Over the Place. This is episode number 19, even though I think we've been on episode number 19 for four episodes now. Coming to you, pre-recorded from the glorious Sonoran Desert on a beautiful fall day. I'm Stephen Cruiser. And joining me from deep in the woods of Georgia, where I hope it's equally beautiful for a fall day, there is my good friend Chris Mead. How are you, Chris?
Good. It's beautiful now. It wasn't this morning. It was freezing this morning, but it is it's really nice right now. It's about, I think it's like 73, which is so pleasant, especially knowing what's coming for us next week. We're gonna get below freezing next week.
Oh boy.
See, that's not looking forward to it.
I tell people about Georgia all the time, like Atlanta specifically. It's Atlanta to me is like Houston. Atlanta's even more extreme, actually. I said every time I go to Atlanta, it's either 1,000% humidity in this or I'm freezing my butt off.
I said,
I rarely remember anything in between Atlanta. And every time I'm there, they say, well, this doesn't usually happen to us. I said, odd, because I've been here a million times. This way every time I'm here.
You said that happened to us on a Tuesday.
So, yeah, it's always been my thing. And kind of Houston doesn't get as cold, but the
Yes, it is.
So before we get going, because all the religious podcasts I listen to, they meander about booze and other stuff in the beginning. I got to tell you, I did something today because you and I are both big on utilizing ChatGPT and everything else to the best of our advantage right now until it takes over and kills us. So you might as well enjoy it while you can.
Amen.
So I love crock pot cooking, but I had been dialed into maybe three different things that I did in the crock pot. I know I've got this crock pot. It's wintertime now. What I like about the crock pot stuff, especially if you're self-employed, where it's usually quick preparation first thing in the morning. Then you don't have to worry about anything the rest of the day.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about dinner because it's going to be ready on time. So I was like, I need to break out of my shell. And I ended up with like a bunch of chicken. I did an Instacart order and they delivered me this. They didn't have what I wanted. They brought me like more than two times as much chicken as I wanted and needed. Huh. And I was like, okay, I got all this chicken. What do I do? So I hit up ChatGPT. I said, give me three keto-friendly recipes, chicken breast and crock pot. It did. I'm trying one of them right now.
Nice.
It's a buffalo chicken thing. If it works out, I'm going to do it. Because all it was the chicken breast, some cream cheese, some butter, and some Frank's Red Hot. That was it. Oh, and some garlic. Oh,
wow.
That was it.
That's so simple.
We're going to see how this goes. So it's cooking right now. I ended up waking up extra early this morning, and I put it in because usually crock pot I do like 8 hours. But this was a six-hour recipe, so it's going to be done right about the time we wrap this podcast recording.
Oh, nice. I bet you're already smelling it.
So I'm going to have it for lunch and dinner. I don't know. So, but then I decided, here's my little experiment that I wanted to run. I thought, okay, so I took the same query and I gave it to Microsoft Copilot and Grok.
Okay.
So I got 9 recipes. 2 of them were similar. I believe that Grok gave me a kind of a buffalo chicken thing that I'm doing today.
Okay.
But other than that, 8 of the recipes were unique.
Huh.
Running it on 3 different AI.
Wow. That's pretty cool. I have chat. I'm working on a novel, and I'm in the middle of a writing challenge with Sarah Anderson and Jamie Wilson and a few other people this month. And for the novel, I have my characters eating in one of those pretentious, new Southern restaurants.
Yeah.
And chat gave me the most hilarious menu for this restaurant. It's just so funny. I'm laughing at every dish because it sounds like something you would go in one of these restaurants and pay twice as much for and enjoy it about half as much.
That's hilarious. I think it does have a sense of humor when it learns. Mm-hmm. I've got a Substack that I'm going to start here soon. And I know we're not supposed to be promoting Substacks, but I'm not really, because I haven't launched it yet. I'm not going to monetize it right away.
Yeah.
But I was like, I want this to just be a fun, goofy thing. And I hit up ChatGPT. I said, I need some funny titles for this. And I'm going with one of the ones it's suggested right now. It's Emotional Support Chimera.
Oh, nice. I like that. That's good.
And then I had it do the graphic for it. A guy sitting in a bar with a chimera sitting on the bar next to his beer.
Nice. That's awesome.
All right. So what we want to talk about, it's November. And which means I was thinking about this. I was thinking about Thanksgiving. We were thinking about gratitude. We've talked about gratitude before, but there's a lot to talk about when it comes to gratitude.
Oh, absolutely.
And the thing with Thanksgiving, I told you yesterday, I said, well, maybe we can wait till we're closer to Thanksgiving. But what always happens in November, it's November 1st, and then it's the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah.
It's just there all of a sudden. So we might as well get to it while we're thinking of it. And we started to talk about this beforehand. First of all, I'm not one of these, oh, commercialization is bad, consumerism is bad and everything. You know, things get overly commercialized. But I don't think that means like commercial is too commercial. I mean, Christmas is too commercialized. Christmas is too secular, the holiday and all of that garbage.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean that if you're a person of faith, you still don't experience Christmas deeply. You still don't, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Right, right.
Let tune out the noise, especially if it's secular Christmas music. That's a whole thing. We did it last year. We'll do it again this year. Christmas night, we'll do a whole episode going off on secular
Christmas. We have to.
But Thanksgiving... If it's in the word, it's a thing that we kind of lose. Oftentimes because of the travel and because of the family dynamics and everything, it becomes this stressful thing where everybody's anything but thankful.
Yeah, yeah. And
I think a good play gratitude, as we were talking about before, has to be intentional. Yes, everybody's mm-hmm. happy that they woke up and they're alive for another day, but it's different if you pray and you thank God for another day.
Yeah, yeah. And
that starts things off better, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. And I think when you say the word Thanksgiving, your people's brains automatically go to a day. Whereas yes. Thanksgiving is meant to be a lifestyle.
Yes. And even if you just remove religion from it for the whole purpose of Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. that, yeah, you should be thankful that you're an American every day.
Hey, yes. Amen to that.
Unless you live in New York City, right?
Yeah, they
it's gonna be a rough one. But rather than have everything get caught up, and this is how I'm gonna approach it personally, and I'm not saying that everybody else should do it, this is just what I think. I think taking Thanksgiving Day, because I come from a dysfunctional family and the holidays were often stressful. Okay,
yeah.
Like I did not look forward to sometimes I don't do anything for Thanksgiving. I spend the day alone.
Right.
The way I was brought up. Things are different now that I'm older. Things are a lot more copacetic. But I do think that it's a perfect starting point to enter into the Advent season, experience the whole thing with gratitude rather than experience the hectic. All the hectic stuff, all of the, you know, again, you're bombarded with secular things. Happy holidays. Before I pitch it to you, does happy holidays offend you, or do you just brush it off?
Happy holidays doesn't offend me, but when people say this holiday on a commercial, I hate that. I hate that because Arbor Day?
Yeah.
Is it 4th of July? What are we talking? What holiday are we talking about? This holiday, I don't like that. But I'll tell you, I ran in Target yesterday and their announcement said Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And I thought that was kind of interesting.
That's good because wasn't Target one of the ones that told people? No, that was Best Buy.
They told them
stop saying Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
When I hear the
phrase happy the holidays, not this holiday, but the holidays, it makes me think of really pretty much the entire period of time from Halloween to New Year's.
Yes.
That's, when you say the holidays, that's kind of where my brain goes. So that doesn't bother me. But when they try to substitute holiday for Christmas or Hanukkah or Thanksgiving or, you know, whatever holiday you are celebrating, when they say this holiday, I don't like that.
Yeah. In California, when I lived in LA, the experience was that pretty much half the people I know were Jewish and actually celebrated Hanukkah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so every year, you know, I would make sure who I was talking to, yes, I want everybody to be happy at Christmas season. Yes. I wish that everybody and everything, but you know, if they're devout Jews and they're celebrating Hanukkah, I will say Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, yeah.
But one of the reasons I was thinking about gratitude is because, okay, we're recording this the day after the elections and City and Virginia and everything else. A lot of Republicans took that hard last night because they mm-hmm. put too much in there. Everything. Mm-hmm. I told you, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, that I wish, you know, if you care about the Virginia races as much as
yeah,
I
yeah.
care oh,
yeah.
about the Virginia race. I don't, because oh, yeah. I knew that the Republicans weren't going to do well. They had their little one-off correction with Youngkin and Winsome Sears and everything, but then I knew it wasn't going to go that way. And I knew Mamdani was going to win in New York. I mean, and the whole spectacle I wrote about the other day of Republicans rooting for Andrew Cuomo was just too much for me.
It was a silly kind of quixotic thing, really, tilting at the windmills by rooting for Andrew Cuomo.
So a lot of people took it hard. A lot of people are like, and this is where it gets easy to go off the rails. Now you can go like, oh, Manhattan's lost. I don't think it's lost. I think they'll figure it out quickly enough. Unless they run off. Manhattan is full of people who are liberals who are so wealthy they can afford to ride out this Mamdani experiment.
That's true.
But it's just like the way, a lot of people in Hollywood can afford to be, fetish socialists. But it's easy to get down right now. And this is a bad time of year to get down. We should be going into, with open, generous hearts into the Thanksgiving season, into the Advent season. And do you guys call it Advent, or is that?
We at our church we have started calling it Advent more so in the last, say, 5 years than we did before, but we do an Advent sermon series every year.
Okay, good.
With the candles and the whole thing.
Oh, you do the four Advent candles?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Sorry, I just noticed some dust on my desk. I have a Memento Mori crucifix sitting on my desk, and it's got three rosaries draped on it.
Oh, wow.
And I'm wearing my Dave's Volt shirt right now.
Oh, nice.
For those of you who are history buffs know, it was the rallying cry during the First Crusade.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It means God wills it. And it's a t-shirt that says Deus on the top, Volt on the bottom, and in the middle it's got a Jerusalem cross.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
It's a conversation start. So I'm gratitude on a superficial level because my baseball team just repeated this world champion.
I think that's
one of the reasons that I not only was not in a bad mood about these elections, but I saw opportunity there, and that's what made me think. And I had already talked to you about doing this gratitude thing, and then I put the two of them together last night, not in the briefing, but I was thinking about it. I was thinking about, you can't get mired in, oh my God, they won. This is that. This is bad. It's easy to forget that you're grateful, which is why you and I both are big fans of the gratitude prayer in the morning,
mm-hmm.
the walking prayer.
Yep.
I noticed Billy Halliwell did a couple of, our buddy was doing a couple of, he said, I'm out for my morning walking prayer. And I'm going like, okay. I'm sitting there last year thinking like, oh my God, this walking prayer is brilliant. I'm glad I thought of this and everything. And then I find out, I'm like, sorry.
The Bible does say that there's nothing new under the sun. So,
But I'm glad I found it. And it's such a great way to start the day. I tweeted a few years ago that the deeper and the more intentional my gratitude prayer is to begin the day, the better my day is out the gate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Invariably. Unless, one day, maybe on a walking gratitude prayer, I'll break my ankle or something. Who knows? But
fall in a manhole.
But it's like, it's so, because sometimes you can just go through the motions. But when you really focus on it, and we talk about it a lot because I think it's such a big deal. I think it's such a great way to start the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't always done it. I think I probably started it about 10 years ago. I've always prayed in the morning, but it wasn't just a gratitude prayer. There are no petitions in this gratitude prayer.
Right.
Until the end when I ask them to watch over my daughter. So, I don't. How long have you been doing?
As long as I can remember. I mean, that one of the prayer models that I've always heard as a kid, well, maybe teenager, all the way up through, was the ACTS model, the ACTS, which stands for adoration, confession, thankfulness, and supplication. And so when you see that, you know, it's built in there twice, in adoration and thankfulness.
Yeah.
Because you're praising God and then you're thanking him for his blessings over you. So that it's baked into that twice. And that's been the model for prayer for me, at least since I was a teenager, maybe earlier than that, just that you know, before you even ask God for a thing, you thank him and you give him glory.
Yes. I've noticed it bleeds into my nighttime prayer lately, which is mostly petitions, but
right.
I've been grateful for a productive day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When I've had They're not all winners.
A lot of times in the evenings when I'm praying, I find myself going, all right, Lord, thank you for, you know, everything that happened today. And then, well, then again, you know, I also had to deal with such and such. And then I'll just laugh. I'll be like, hey, you know, if I can be thankful after dealing with some of the things I've dealt with today, then it's definitely been a good day.
I'm just looking at this. We're recording on Zoom, but we don't do video, so we have Zoom picture profile pick up there. And mine's from the Day of the Dead celebration here in Tucson. The first year I moved back, and I got the paint on the hat and everything.
Yeah.
And it's coming up again this weekend, that celebration. And I'm wondering.
Oh, cool.
It is a wonderful thing. It is like, you know, it's a great way to remember dead loved one or loved ones. And I was just pondering whether, because that's kind of that was a gratitude thing the first year I was back, because it was, you know, my dad, that was who I was remembering. I just moved back to his house. And it was this thing, but it was very cathartic, and it was a nice release. And it wasn't a maudlin remembrance of that, even though everybody's got skulls and all of that.
Yeah.
They've painted up like skulls. It's not a maudlin. It's a very joyful celebration. And in the end, you take this, you know, you put mementos of your loved one, you know, and so you write something down or you put it in this urn. And at the end, they raise the urn up in the sky, set it on fire, and set it all.
Oh, wow. That is really neat.
It's trippy.
Well, yeah, one of the things last year when I made my trip to the mountains, where I got stranded and then got treated with so much kindness, that was a gratitude moment. That couple of days that I spent, and
you didn't die.
I got stranded. Yeah, I didn't die in the mountains, and it didn't cost, you know, thousands of dollars to fix my car. But I was spreading my dad's ashes. That was part of why I went up to the mountains. I spreading some of his ashes up in the area where he grew up. So remembrances are always great opportunities for gratitude, I think.
I did. The way I've worded it lately, I've been grateful living here, you know, on my dad's old property. His urn is with me here, right behind me right now. And I've been grateful for the connection every day. That's the kind of the way I've been wording it. And then just these last few days, I've been saying thank you for being here and for the memories of my dad.
Oh yeah, and that's sweet.
One of the things we were talking about, I don't think we mentioned yet, it's like gratitude has to be intentional, but it's almost like a skill that needs to be practiced.
Oh, definitely, most definitely. Practice it like you practice, you know, throwing a football or playing a guitar or, you know, speaking a foreign language. You have to practice. I mean, like we were talking about before we started recording, parents have to tell their kids to say thank you. Kids don't say thank you on their own until it's ingrained in them. Maybe they will after it's ingrained in them, but not by nature.
Then when you get older, you can get sloppy about it. I try to remember that when I'm out in public, if somebody does something nice, or a restaurant or anything. You know, I didn't grow up in the South where I was taught all the politeness that you guys are taught.
Yes, it is. It's definitely part of our lifestyle.
But I try to remember that. I don't know. It's perspective helps with this a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's easier to be grateful for things when you know that, when you realize that everything isn't an existential crisis.
Yes, that's true.
It takes a lot of years to get to the point where you realize that everything isn't an existential crisis. Mm-hmm.
That is so true.
But once you realize that, like, okay, the world will probably not end before dinner time.
Right.
I might die. You don't know that. So here I am. I went from a broken ankle to now I'm going to die, but still grateful every day.
There you go.
Oh, if you do the memento mori thing and remember that you're going to die and you wake up, that puts a little extra zip into your thank you for another day thing.
That's true.
Yeah, I have a memento mori crucifix on one side of my desk and a memento mori skull on the other side.
Ooh, nice.
It is kind of good. I don't know pondered. There's a peripheral reminder.
I think sometimes when you see something all the time, it just becomes kind of part of the room, and yeah. it may not, you know, stand out to you that often.
But it does occasionally. So there's, it makes me think of it now. It's being 64 years old. That's what makes me think of it now.
You were talking about looking at things around the room. Something just occurred to me. I have it's one of those, it's a small, like wallet sized picture, of one of those paintings of Jesus. And he's looking off to the side. And I just noticed it's on my, stuck with a magnet on my, filing cabinet. And he's looking directly at something on my whiteboard that we made for church several years ago that talks about all the things that we have in our lives because of the work of Jesus. And I just noticed that. I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. Jesus is pointing, looking towards the things that he did for us that we should be grateful for. So
that is cool. Drinking. I've told you, I have this bad habit of anytime I would be on camera or on a microphone, whether it's on stage, doing a podcast or anything else, I drink something carbonated. It's my preference, but then I got to make sure I'm not belching the audience into oblivion. I've been that way forever. I drink carbonated stuff on stage. I drink carbonated every time I do this. When we had the old PJTV going on, I was always drinking like a diet soda or something.
Okay.
Camera. It's not a smart. You kids out there, don't try this if you ever go in front of an audience. I would not recommend it. But
and those sensations can come at the worst possible times too.
Yeah. Well, I think we've covered gratitude fairly well.
Yep.
I am grateful for this time we get to record this. I'm grateful for
that. Yes.
I'm grateful that we have the freedom at this. The town hall media.
Absolutely.
If you contrast this podcast with Unwoke, you can see I'm kind of like all over
the place. It's all across the spectrum, and that's good though.
Every time I hit up town hall media with one of these ideas, I go, okay. It's like, there's no hesitation. It's like, sure, why not?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I want to do a thing, a video where I ride in on a camel, and there's like, how much is a camel?
I think the worst response to things I've gotten, and I get this one a lot from Storm, is I'll ask him for something. He'll say, today's not a good day to do it, but maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
I get that a lot from Storm, so which is cool. It's fine.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. We're grateful for people listening. And I don't know why we didn't report. Oh, I had a lot of construction last week.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still going on, but they're in a quieter phase. But there were two different construction crews here last week. One working on the main house, which used to be my dad's house, and then the ones building the apartments in back and on that property. So we had stuff all over the place last week.
Well, and you were also in like heavy World Series focus mode with those long games.
I was sleep deprived. after that 18-inning Monday night game, I don't think I ever caught up on my sleep until maybe 2 nights ago.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just, it was like, it was the most exhausting World Series from a fan's point of view.
Right, right.
To watch, because it was like high stress. And it was, but it was worth it. It was so worth it. And now I got to go buy a bunch of new. I have my World Series hat on from last year, the one they wore on field right after the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I liked, but it wasn't my favorite one. The ones they had on this year, I loved. So I'm getting one of those from me. Yeah, I got to buy a World Series merch next week. I'm not buying it this week.
As a National League guy, I was really, really pleased to see the Dodgers win it.
No, I don't think
it is. I know so many people, you know, kind of act like they hate the Dodgers, but like I say, as long as the National League wins it.
There's a guy on Instagram I saw.
Except the Phillies.
I don't know who he is. And he said people like to talk about they hate the Dodgers. Who do you hate on the Dodgers? Who's a bad guy on the Dodgers? There's not a bad guy on the Dodgers.
Right.
He said you go down the list. They don't have an evil villain guy. They're a bunch of guys. Yeah, they got high price guys. They got high talent guys. They got guys, but they're just this team. They're a very selfless team. And he said, "Who are you hating?"
Yeah, yeah.
You can hate how much money they spend, but they also don't. There's a very good article for those of you who are sports fans. It was very right after they worked on it obviously for a long time. As soon as game seven was over, ESPN posted this lengthy thing about the entire Dodgers operation. And they said, it's not just the money. It's that they do all of the little things. They said, everybody's doing them in baseball, but the Dodgers are doing them better.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
The scouting, the farm system, the outreach to Japan, everything. They said the tiniest things. And the whole reason they won that World Series is because Miguel Rojas hit a bench player who just got inserted into the lineup in game six, hit a home run in the ninth inning with two outs left.
Yeah,
it wasn't one of the superstars.
Right, exactly.
So, and Rojas then got him out with a defensive play in the next inning, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So there we go. So we've talked about food, sports, and God.
Yep, and we mentioned music. So that was, that was a very well-rounded episode.
Every conversation that Chris and I have. The only thing we're missing right now is Chris hasn't said anything about Brooklyn.
That's true. I don't even have any thoughts in my head right now about bourbon anyway.
Well, it's Wednesday. Did you do Whiskey Wednesday?
No, I haven't done one in a couple of weeks. I wanted to do try some different old fashioned recipes for Old Fashioned Week, which was 2 weeks ago, but it was such a busy week that I didn't have time to do a whole lot of experimenting. So maybe I'll create my own Old Fashioned Week in a few weeks.
That'll be fun.
I think so.
I have a friend in LA. She does every time it's Negroni week, then she hops on Instagram and does like a different variation on a Negroni every night. Huh. And she's done that for like 2 or 3 years. And how many different ways can you make a freaking Negroni?
That, yeah, for real.
She just keeps doing it. She makes the best frou-frou cocktails. That's what I call them. For every party she throws, she creates a unique cocktail.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I have a recipe that ChatGPT gave me that I'm going to try it one day when I have a lot of extra time, is to create a peanut butter simple syrup and a peanut butter old fashioned.
What's a peanut butter simple syrup? How do you do that?
You just have to put enough water in it to get it, thin.
Okay.
I think it's a ratio thing.
I could see that. Oh, okay. Well,
now it's not like I'm talking math and science, which is a little scary.
You're also talking like complex ingredients.
That's true.
That's way out of like you and Kevin and Steve should be doing a cocktail podcast.
That would be fun.
Steve was doing some videos a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
You had to start doing those. Those were great. And then for a long time for Unwoke, Kevin was making creating a new cocktail every week for Unwoke.
But I remember those too, yeah.
Yeah, well, I had to stop drinking during Unwoke, and then Kevin wasn't having any fun if I wasn't drinking. Because we were recording so early in the day, I said, I'm not going to start drinking.
Oh, yeah.
I know I say I love day drinking. I love day drinking if I don't have to work.
Right, right.
I don't love day drinking if I've got six. That's what I used to hate.
If you're at a tailgate, then yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you're sitting in front of your desk, no, it's not a good, not a good option.
Well, 5 o'clock somewhere became what it was when we were doing Thursday episodes. When we were doing Thursday episodes, we went for like 2-3 hours. And I was I still had to do the briefing that night. And I hated those days.
Oh, gosh.
I was like, so we were drinking, then I had to, and I said, so we had to stop doing Thursdays after. I said, I'm not going to drink and then keep working. Yes, I like day drinking. I like my work. Yeah. I like them to be different things.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. We will be back next week. Everything's calmed down here. And as far as I know, there won't be a lot of construction. They still do have to put up, they got to do the framing at some point, which is going to get noisy. But I think I'm far enough away from it that it shouldn't interfere with it.
Hey, could y'all take a break at this particular time?
When people have been doing stuff out front here on the street and everything or something, I've gone out and I said, hey, I got to do a live broadcast. You just wrap this up and watch do something. I've done that before.
A friend of mine was telling me last week that, Where she grew up was right next door to the cabin where they filmed scenes in My Cousin Vinny. And the week they were filming there, her dad had taken the week off work to plow his field. And when they're getting ready, he got his tractor fired up going, and they sent some runner out there to tell him, hey, can you stop for a while? And they assigned that runner to him so that he could just run back and forth and let him know it was okay to fire up the tractor when he needed to turn it off.
That's cool. I'm going to go finish that new installment column about what I've binge watched lately on stream.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I started it yesterday, but I was struggling yesterday. I had a sinus headache that really knocked me out for the afternoon. It was just, I finally took some Tylenol, which I try to avoid doing at all.
Yeah.
I can't take Advil. So so Tylenol, I figure my liver gets enough damage. I don't need it.
Right.
But I just I started to write that thing and I just couldn't even keep my eyes open. My head hurt so much. So that's rare for me. I don't get headaches like that. Usually I have sinus pressure, but not like what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought my ears were going to blow off. My eyes hurt.
Oh gosh.
So I started it last night. I've got I binge watch a lot of stuff while I'm watching the briefing. So I figured I might as well share some thoughts. It's not going to be any fun for people who need to binge watch something the second it's released on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not always up to date, but I've got stuff that's recent, stuff that was released 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago that I've watched.
Okay, yeah. I'm looking forward to that one. I think that's going to be a good column.
I think it'll be fun. We have a culture section for a reason. We need more culture content.
Yeah.
And this is something I do all the time. This isn't something I'm doing just for the purposes of the column. It's every night when I finish the briefing, I'm binging stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then some nights when I'm done, I'll finish. I can go through, if it's like 40-minute episodes and it's an 8-episode thing, I can go through one of those in a night easily.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So that's what I'm going to be doing. Thumbs up, thumbs. I still got to come up with a rating system. Everybody has their thumbs up, thumbs down, to this, to that. I'm not going to force it. I'll come up with some kind of Steven Cruiser-esque organic thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Pants on, pants off. We can just do that.
There you go.
Most people don't remember how much I like. But the thing is, pants off is the good one. Pants on means I don't like it. So I love Kershaw. After one playoff game, they wrapped up one of the series. I don't know if it was this year or last year. And they're doing the beer thing. He takes his shirt off right away,
Yeah,
he did all of his post. He did all of his post game interviews on Saturday with his shirt off. And they said something about it. So you don't want to wear a shirt. And he said, I barely want pants. So at the beginning, one of the series this year, the guys at the clubhouse were all wearing I barely want pants t-shirts.
That is awesome. That's good stuff right there.
All right, kids, we will talk to you next week, and thank you very much for this.
See y'all.